Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
One of the funniest artists I know, but boy, this man dangerous.
Wait, what you mean dangerous? You got a gun on him or something?
Corey Holcomb.
Okay. What's up, y'all?
I don't know how Corey get all the TV looks he get.
Hey, man.
God must be with Corey.
No,
Corey.
I'm going to tell you what it is, Charlamagne. It's a lot of people who think like me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm crazy. I say a lot of wild, out-of-pocket stuff, but they can see through the madness, and they give me opportunities.
Kind of like a lot of people think like Donald Trump.
I was going to say that, so you might like Donald Trump, because he's, he's honest, too.
Well, I know why Donald Trump is running away with the race like he is. It's because he's speaking from the heart. Mm. And a lot of these guys,
a lot of people feel like
what it takes to speak from the heart. Whether it be somebody who's speaking negatively or positively, when you're speaking from the heart, I think people recognize that, because the truth is attractive. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we avoid the truth just because we want to stay politically correct. Right. And bottom line, keep our jobs.
You don't care for abortions too much either. You give girls hell when they get an abortion.
I'm a real hypocrite when it comes to abortion.
Why is that?
Because he'll send you to get one.
Yeah. But I can't go in the abortion clinic no more because everybody knows me. And I don't want to.
How many times have you gone in?
He'll be on Instagram like, on Snapchat. I see Corey Holcomb at the abortion clinic.
Stop counting. The abortion clinics, man, everybody wants to take selfies now. You don't want to take selfies with that Planned Parenthood sign behind you. It throws off everything you're trying to do.
That is true. It's funny, I went to the doctor the other day.
That's funny. You went
just
where?
To get my annual checkup.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, man, I'm in the doctor's office. People probably going to think something's wrong with me.
They'll lie.
I'm like, I'm just trying to have a regular, but I did think about that. Mm.
This one girl who I went to the abortion clinic with back in the day, mm-hmm. She was mad because I got a lot of attention at the abortion clinic. She was jealous.
You were everybody taking pictures with people?
Yeah, she was sitting there looking like this, and you know, I was taking the selfies back then.
It's an awkward time. She's getting an abortion, and you're taking selfies with other people waiting to get abortions.
Take a selfie.
I think the worst selfie would be right after she comes out of the recovery room, get that picture with her.
What if she would have said, I didn't know you was just popping, I'm going to keep it.
Dang. That's crazy.
Well, there's let me tell you something about wisdom. Wisdom is very important when you're dating. You have to date women who need you. And I'm not talking about need you. Need you in a way like, oh, I could do without right now and wait for this child support check. There's a lot of girls out there where if they're pregnant and you dangle some money in their face, if she real broke, you don't really need to dangle a lot of money. It was this one girl. I knew she was starving because I went to her house and I saw the poverty.
Crazy.
I saw the poverty. It was the
screen.
What did poverty look like?
It was pretty bad. The couch with the dip in it.
Okay.
You know, that TV that's still big in the back.
Still got the big
back. It don't make you feel bad, all that money you had to spend.
What? I don't have a lot of money like that. I'm broke.
Poverty don't turn you off, though?
Poverty lets me know that I have bargaining chips in this situation.
Yeah, that's one of your rules. What's your number one rule? Don't give hope to nobody you're doing better than.
Well, I'm saying if you date these girls that do not need your little $500 you offer, you're in trouble. Deal with girls who need you, man. You're in a better position, man.
Now, you tweeted out, pick one. Rich fat bitch who wear flip-flops a lot or broke bad bitch with 5 kids and the hang like a Jordan tongue.
Why is that your choice?
Pick one.
Where were you?
Well, sometimes you have to make choices like that.
What's your pick?
You should be at those spots. Where were you?
Have you ever done a show in like Flint, Michigan or something like that? There's not a lot of good choices, man. And I'm not drinking the water. I'm thirsty
too
and
soon,
thirsty.
Too soon. You've got some issues in Flint right
I'm
now.
I'm double thirsty in Flint. Hey, Flint, I'm joking with y'all.
Yeah, please.
You know, it was
some toe-up
holes out there.
Now, you also said keep your side in a position where your woman kind of remind her that he leaves you in the streets and holds it down at home. Prioritize your hoes.
Right. I mean, a lot of guys who I know who got money, they have done things for their side chicks that I feel like is what you should never buy a side chick a car. I don't care
Hell
how
no.
rich you are.
Yeah.
That's insane. And I know some guys who got money, so they just buy a girl a car. That's stupid. You taking her out the game.
Guys buy their side chick condos. They get them cars.
That ain't fair.
Some guys have had the same side chick for like 20 years.
That's right. Some girls are better as side chicks. But I know we need to put a salary cap on side chicks.
What about being a side dude for you, though?
Of course, everybody wants to be the side
dude.
You
want that.
You don't want no obligation.
I want to be side dude to somebody that got some money.
I don't want
to just be some side dude for some regular ass girl.
Well, it depends on what that regular girl can do. There's some girls out here with amazing, I call them convertible tonsils. they tonsils just go back. Like convertible.
I like your top 10 things not to do when dating. I like number 4. Always lie about the number of previous sexual partners you've been with. Always.
Because nobody's ready for that.
Who asked somebody that?
Everybody asked about the body count.
Really? I feel people don't really ask questions like that. People still do that? You ask women how many people have you had sex with?
Just to make conversation, yeah. Sometimes you get interesting answers because girls never want to tell the truth about how many people they've had sex with, so why should I?
I just think the best answer to that is it's not really something I want to talk about.
So that's arrogance. You could say that to a dude and get away with it because he still want to smash. There's some girls where if they said that, you'd be like, bitch, I'm gone then.
And I automatically assume you a hoe. How many guys you slept with that you don't want to talk about?
I don't know. I've never had anybody ask me that.
I pray for you because I know you just get so many phony guys and it all sounds good.
No one has ever
asked
me that.
When was the last time a dude said, bitch, shut up to you?
Never. Nobody has ever in life said that to me.
You are missing out, man.
He's never been in love.
But can you imagine if you were like an attractive girl with a job like this, nobody's ever going to keep it real with her.
Never.
Until you get broke down and older. Then all of a sudden, dude's going to be like, bitch, how many you slept with? But right now, you don't have to worry about that, babe. You safe.
And I would never ask a guy that. I would never be like, because I always assume that guys don't even probably really know.
Well,
like,
they
do you know how many girls you slept with?
No.
Right, so.
You stop counting. After you slept with about 20 girls, you don't even keep up with it no more.
Yeah, it's all a blur.
And you think you remember all of them? Like, you could, in your head, if you...
Anybody I slept with, if I saw them, I would know them.
Really?
Anybody I slept with, if I... There's something about looking down on somebody with sweat dripping in their hair.
Because I know guys who would be like, man, I feel like I slept with that girl, but I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Oh, those guys have Alzheimer's. I don't know. I'm never going to forget nobody I slept with.
All right, well, keep it locked. We got more with Corey Holmcomb. When we come back, don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Comedian Corey Holcomb is in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
What you really hitting them with lately? Like, what's the one thing that presses the button?
Well, the main thing presses the button are the illegitimate kids that a lot of guys have to be phony with and smile with. Like, when you meet a girl and, you know, hey, little man, how you like that? I really go in on that. So, couples who are in situations where the guys had to be phony with the little kid when they first meet him, I've seen those arguments in the parking lot.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel good about that, too. I'm not even going to lie. Because I don't know y'all, and I touched y'all lives like that.
You ever had somebody run up on you? Because I remember you used to tell the joke about the... Shout out to all you girls in here who get in vaginal rejuvenation and make you right back the way it was before your uncle touched it.
I say a lot of crazy stuff.
What?
Before your uncle touched it.
I don't know. I say a lot of crazy stuff, but if I don't know you, why would you take it so seriously? If I call out your name, right, I'm just, these are jokes.
It's a general joke.
But what if the uncle really touched a girl, my uncle really touched me, that wasn't funny.
Well, why are you bringing it up now? That's like the unfair thing that's happening to Bill Cosby.
Let me ask you, what would you do in this situation? Let's just say you were with a girl, y'all broke up, she's famous, and then she tells everybody that she put fingers in your... Then she really did. Would you comment on it, or do you ignore it?
Well, you can't do nothing but ignore it, because if you comment on it, you're going to feed into it, especially if it really happened.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because this is what happens. Nobody wants to say, there are some freaky girls out here who like that butt play.
And some freaky guys that enjoy it as well.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying. It's some girls who ignore... Ish. And that is that. I had one of them little finger pokers around me. And so I came in there with straight up gyro meat my ass. And she still was, she tried to, but I got my ass still nude. It still got the wrapper on it. So she couldn't break that seal
like
I got back
dog,
there.
Right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Goodness.
But it was still back there. And I had on white drawers, so trying to give her every warning.
She did that for the power, because she know what type of guy you are, so no matter what, she'd be like, I put my finger in Corey. He can talk all that talk you want.
Hey, and you know what? Girls will do that.
Yes,
everything that you let them get away with,
yes, sir. They gonna use
that they
you.
Know takes away from your street cred.
Right. Like you like your nipples suck, crazy. Right?
Well, how would you ask them?
She said I like my nipples touched. The worst thing out of all them girls are those biters. What's up with that? Why do people get off biting people? What is that about?
What do you mean, like biting all over? Or
biting anything. Yeah. Why are you biting something on another human being?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's Corey Holcomb.
That's
it's
what's
The
up.
Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hey, man. Thank you.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. JD, Jermaine Dupri.
What's up? What's up?
Historically, you signed a lot of artists who, like, kind of came and went. You think that helps or hurts your legacy?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that...
Like, what artists you talking about?
Yeah, like, what artists?
I mean, like, you know, like, Bone Crusher, even the Franchise Boys, Jaquan, like...
Those three artists that you name in particular, I didn't sign them the same way I signed the Brat, or the same way I signed Bow Wow, or the same way I signed Jagged. My hand wasn't in control of their career. Bone Crusher came to my radio show, and he brought me Never Scared, and I was like, yes, this is a hit. Envy, we going with this. We out. And I just took the record and put it out based on what it was. I didn't have control of his second single. A lot of those artists, once again, they was honing their own thing. Like, JD, we got this. We got producers in-house. We don't need Jermaine Dupri production. We just need that Jermaine Dupri promotion. So gotcha. It's crazy because a lot of people don't even know. I signed Rocco. I don't get So Def credit for signing Rocco. But I signed him. I'm the one brought him to Def Jam. Right. You know, so.
In this day and age, how does an artist get your attention? Somebody that you've never met before, never seen, doesn't live in Atlanta, is not going to run into you. What can they do? Because people always ask me.
Go to global14.com. Mm-hmm. Put your music up on my site. Post it. SoundCloud, YouTube, however you want to do it. And leave a message. I'm on there every day. And I see it. And the people on the site is talking to me and telling me, Jermaine, you should listen to this. You should listen to that. Or Instagram. I'm on all my social medias. All day long. Mm-hmm. You know, you can hit me up, and if I see it, you know, like all the kids that's hitting me right now talking about I want to be on season 2 and I don't even have the season 2 yet. I see all that.
You can make somebody into a star that trying to do music, but maybe they're not developed, they're not that great. Do you think you can make someone into a star, or is something that you have to have?
No, I can make you into a star. Look at her face. She's like,
even
what?
In this day and age?
But you have to have something. Like, I made Criss Cross into rappers. They weren't rappers. Mm-hmm. When I met them, I said, what do y'all do? And I was hoping that they said, we rap. And they was like, we don't do nothing. We just chill.
Is that true? You saw them in the mall or something?
Yeah, this was a conversation. I seen them in the mall. They was buying the same type of clothes I was buying. They was geared up. And I was like, so wait a minute. Y'all don't do nothing? It's like, nah, we don't do nothing. And I'm thinking, like, at that time, I'm like, I don't watch Nickelodeon. I don't whatever was on. I'm like, maybe these kids is on TV. And I said, for real, you seriously don't do nothing. We just chill. We come to Greenbrier Mall every weekend, and we get girls. And the way they was talking to me, I was just like, y'all need to be rappers.
Right.
And if you got that attitude, and I can see it and sense it, then I can turn you into a star.
That's like a Powerball ticket, though. Like, that don't happen now. Producer walking in the mall, Jermaine Dupri, like, y'all look like stars.
What do you do?
Yeah, but I mean, it is on both sides, because you know, in Atlanta, you're from the South, but I don't know the last time you've been to Atlanta. If you walk through Lenox Square, yo, it's like a talent search, yo. If I walk through Lenox Square, everybody in the mall got a CD.
Right.
I'm like, what the hell did you come to the shopping mall with this? And that's just what Atlanta's turned into. They believe they're going to bump into Polo. They believe they're going to see Brian Cox. They believe they're going to see me. And by the way, one of us, we going to pull up to the mall.
Every time I do go to that mall, I do see people.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Now,
yeah.
Is that the way you found Bow Wow as well? The same.
Nah, Snoop found Bow Wow.
Yeah, remember Snoop?
Well, Snoop signed Bow Wow to Death Row when Bow Wow was 5.
Right.
And that's where Bow Wow got his name from. So it's always been funny when people's like, why don't he change his name to Big Bow Wow? Snoop Dogg is Big Bow Wow.
Gotcha.
That's his name. And he gave Bow Wow his name, Little Bow Wow.
I never understood why Snoop would sign a 5-year-old to Death Row, especially during that era.
He had it. Like, yeah. And his name was Kid Gangsta. So if you would have heard the stuff that Bow Wow was saying at 5.
I remember him.
He was on Arsenio.
Yeah.
Bow Wow was cursing and all that. If y'all remember on the Snoop Dogg album, when he say, hey, little boy, you back there with the braids. What you want to be? That's Bow Wow. I want to be a mother gangster.
Right.
That's Bow Wow on the Snoop Dogg album. Bow Wow was completely Death Row'd out.
And how did you get him from Death Row?
Because me and Snoop is like this. Right. And Snoop called me like, yo, JD, Death Row ain't the label for this little kid. Mm-hmm. I know you know what to do with him. Put our heads together and do what we got to do.
And that's why Suge wanted you. They hated you at one time.
But yeah, he thought that I did it. That was Snoop.
Over Bow Wow, he hated you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he hates me over anything. Yeah. Who don't hate Jermaine Dupri over everything? They want to hate me over everything.
You and Dr. Dre squared away y'all issues y'all had.
Yeah. I don't know if it was ever a beef. Like I said, it's the same thing I said when I came to talk to you. I don't know why people say stuff about me just to be saying stuff about me if you don't know me. And I think that when Dre and I got into the beef, me and Dre never even had a conversation. It was just like, pick on the dude that's putting out kid artists. Why?
And then Timbaland didn't like went through y'all stuff at one time?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It was all of them. And I'm like, what did I do? I don't know what I, you know what I mean? All I do is have success. I just think just because I do it and I don't be with a whole bunch of people and I don't be asking people to help me and this, right. that, and third, I think people look at me like, man, Kim, he ain't, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's size, too.
Like, they go there because I'm little. Yeah, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I mean, that's how it goes.
All right, we got more with JD when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That's right, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Jermaine Dupri is in the building.
I saw you say you wanted to sign Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, I did. I called her prior to her getting a real deal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, you hard. Yo. Brat hates me for this because people say she stole Brat's style. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear her stealing Brat. I just heard that.
More Charlie Baltimore than Brat.
Huh?
Yeah, she could have been a little funkified.
Yeah, I mean, either way, but I was just like, I was on her real early. She was putting up these incredible pictures on Instagram, and, you know, people was looking at her as well as listening to her, and I think she misconceived my call as I was trying to get at her. Yeah. I was like, yo, I'm trying to deal with you. You can hit my manager. And I'm like, yo, I'm trying to talk to you. Like, right now, I don't care about no manager. What you telling me that for? Right. And I just think she curved me real hard.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you was kind of like Tiger when he was trying to talk to the white girl about music on Instagram.
Nah. No, I wasn't.
Have you been thinking about a So-So Def biopic, seeing that everybody else is, you know, the success, obviously, you're Straight Outta Compton, the Death Row movie coming, Master P's doing his movie.
Yeah, I just think that it's too much success with So-So Def, unfortunately. And people don't seem to, like, cheer for a lot of success. Mm-hmm. I recall when I first came up here, right, and we talked about the 20th anniversary, Charlamagne didn't think nobody was going to come to my show.
Yeah.
He thought nobody was going to come. That was the biggest concert to ever come to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And, like, Jay-Z ain't going to show up. Why? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this was one of the biggest shows. So I think it's got something to do with it's so much success and it's not no agony of defeat. And
you got to have a def.
Yeah, you got to have something, right? And yeah. I'm not trying to put that out there. So I don't.
Y'all had some inside controversies, I'm sure, that the public doesn't know
no,
about.
No, not like that. Not like def, like
I remember
N.W.A.
Escape had some issues.
That's probably the only passing. Thing that's like, that's probably the biggest trauma that's ever come to my label.
Chris passing.
That was tough for me. But Brat going to jail, that's probably the biggest. And mm-hmm. and we lived through all of the stuff with N.W.A. Mm-hmm. So if when they moved their shoulders, we moved our shoulders. We felt it, like, right. a difference. I sold y'all success as opposed to a lifestyle of what was happening with Jermaine Dupri as So-So Def was
no
doing
what
he's doing.
Jermaine Dupri movies.
It might be 10 years down the road.
I wanted to ask, what you think you could do for Iggy now?
Probably nothing, but it's...
I mean, musically, though.
Like, oh, musically?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I could do a lot for her. But I'm saying, to go back to what we was talking about prior about teams, the thing I think is wrong with Iggy is she don't have a quarterback. She don't have nobody to take the bullets. She don't have nobody say,
yeah,
yo, listen.
Well,
T.I. That's what T.I. was supposed to be.
Nah, T.I. said, yo, you know what? I'm not doing this no more. And by the way, T.I. might have needed a quarterback. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's artists like that I say, like, T.I. to me was at a level at one time, and he had to go back to jail, and I think that might have hurt him, but I just believe all rappers need that. Tom Brady, I won't say him, I'm going to say Cam now. So yeah, but
don't say Tom Brady. Yeah. Say Cam.
Tom Brady's still Tom Brady.
Do you ever regret losing Miss Janet Jackson?
I don't know. I can't really say. I believe that my life is definition of in a journey,
right?
And inside that journey is supposed to be things that happen. And me having a relationship with her, I definitely know was a part of my life that I was taught a lot for these 8 years. And I don't know if it was supposed to stay. It was supposed to come into my life and teach me what I learned in them 8 years and keep it moving.
Well, I missed it, man. We had Janet in the hood, man. I missed it.
Everyone to DJ for her again.
I missed it,
damn. But it's always the legend, the urban legend, that you messed it up. Like, you got
I probably did. I'm a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Janet, though, JD?
Listen, man. I'm going to tell you one thing like this. And that's not where that came from, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm flawed. You know, I take that on the chin that I messed it up, but it is what it is.
I mean, listen, that's why I use you as an example, because I tell all girls, okay, now, if Janet Jackson can get cheated on,
Let's let it stay in the air because people don't know what the story is. They just say what they want to say. Like, she thinks Confessions was connected to me and Janet. Yeah.
I was just kidding.
That's what the world thinks. That came out so far earlier than we broke up. Like, look, he knows it too. It's like, what? Yeah. That don't have nothing to do with it. That was my, and I can say this because I'm a very
transparent,
true person. I'm gonna be really true with you. That story was about my first baby mother.
Oh.
Yeah. And my girlfriend and my first baby mother.
Would a story about Janet ever be told?
Never. Why? One thing I can say is that I don't want to go down in history as the guy who dates, but I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to say this dude was determined to continue to keep putting out music. So a lot of times, even when we was dating, I felt that coming. I felt like that was becoming my moniker over all the success that I had.
Janet's boyfriend.
Yeah, Janet's boyfriend. I'm like, yo, come on, dog. Like, I got Grammys. Why you can't say Grammy Award winning?
Because you brought Janet to the hood.
Man.
That'd be hot, though. JD, Janet's dude.
What? The Breakfast Club is Jermaine Dupri. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have a very special guest today.
Now, we say that all the time, we have a special guest, but today we really have a special guest.
This is
an interview I never thought we'd be doing.
You didn't think so?
No, I just never thought about it.
I know.
It's like Angela Bassett?
We're nervous.
Angela Bassett.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
First, we want to say that, you know, everybody was so surprised at your beauty when you walked in.
Nobody was surprised at her beauty.
Shut up.
Just
come in looking like a troll.
That's a damn lie.
It was like they thought you were going to look a little different, but you look amazing.
Who does that? Different
how? That's him. Nobody thought that. Okay, first of all,
Envy, what is wrong with you?
We all aspire to age as gracefully as you. Man or woman, I don't know what you're talking about.
We've seen a lot of pictures of Angela Bassett as of late, and even before that, and we've always thought you looked amazing.
Give some effort.
What's your secret? Is it water, plant-based products, plant-based food? What is it?
Yes, all that.
Okay.
All that in attitude.
Now, how have you been able to prosper so well in Hollywood? Because you're black and a female.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm serious. That's really not a recipe for success.
I feel like Hollywood.
You're black. I know. I had a nerve. Just show up ready, prepared, and I'm enthusiastic when I get there, mm-hmm. and deliver. You mm-hmm. know, I think that's a recipe for success. You know, in whatever arena you find yourself,
mm-hmm.
be prepared, be professional,
mm-hmm.
and when you're given the shot, shoot.
There you go.
Because you've been in some of our favorite movies of all time. Now, especially me as a female, of course, What's Love Got to Do with It? Mm-hmm. Then Waiting to Exhale, which you guys just had like 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Damn, time flies.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I can still
counting.
Watch that movie.
I didn't know it was that long ago.
I think that one scene is the epic scene of you when you light everything mm-hmm. on fire and walk mm-hmm. away. That's the one picture you always have in your head as a strong black woman. In a movie like Waiting to Exhale.
Yeah, but you caused a lot of arsons because of that.
I know.
Somebody, it was your property, though.
He showed up in jet. Some woman tried to do that, and they carted her right off to
somebody
the
really
who's gal.
To...
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just do that. And then, of course, how Stella got her groove back.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's like the saying for everybody. Like, you know, I'm going to go to Jamaica and get my groove back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Get my Stella on.
What roles do you go out for? Because it seems like you play a lot of heavy stuff. Like, you was Betty Shabazz, Coretta Scott King.
Mm-hmm. And she was also Biggie's mom.
Biggie's mom, Rosa Parks.
Right.
Katherine
right.
Jackson.
I think people think of me as a serious, you know, chick, you know. But those were the roles that were available. And I guess I came through at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when there were miniseries, you know, Jackson's, Katherine Jackson, 10-part miniseries. Then miniseries fell out of favor. Now they're coming back mm-hmm. with American Horror and with People versus O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. American Crime, where we right. see Regina King.
American Horror Story. What made you do that? Because it's a different type of show, if you watch it.
Yeah, it's a different type of show. I think that it was a great role. Marie Laveau, historical figure in New Orleans, who held prominence and influence in that town, in the South. You know, it was a different South.
Did you study voodoo for the role?
No, hell no. That I left on the table.
No chicken bones and nobody.
No. I was like, I didn't want to, you know, offend nobody, but I wasn't trying to get too close up on the voodoo aspect of it or for her, it was Gray-Gray, or Gray-Gray. Mm-hmm. Not white magic, not black magic, but Gray-Gray. Whatever serves, yeah, whatever, serves the situation at the time.
Your husband's an actor as well. Do you guys challenge each other as far as when y'all starting to do stuff? Like, he's doing the People vs. OJ now. He's playing Johnny Cochran. Do you challenge him? Be like, ah, you did all right.
No. See, that would be you. We ain't like that. I don't even play like that. He's sensitive soul. No. I'm just applauding him. Like, you know, I'll watch it. You know, have it on the DVR. I don't do a particular scene. Like, and I'll just go back and play it again and play it again and play it again. You killed it. You rocked it. You know, you got to, pump your man up. But it's true. I mean, he really is killing it.
All right. Well, we have more with Angela Bassett. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have a special legend in the building, Miss Angela Bassett. Now, what made you do Notorious?
Who's not a fan of Biggie?
You were a fan of Biggie?
Yeah, fan of Biggie. And,
they want you to play everybody's mama, though.
Yeah. You want to play your mama?
I'd rather you play my wife. Mama. I ain't never thought about mama like that.
The letter reached out to you personally. I know she was, petitioning. She really wanted you to play
her. She was wonderful, too. It was wonderful to spend time with her. You know, just to sit in her presence,
right,
and to see the light in spite of what happened to her only son, her beloved son, the light that still could, because that can be crushing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just observing the strength of an individual who can greet you with joy, with smiles, embraces, and go on, you know?
Did you have to take a pay cut for that movie? Because it didn't seem like it was a big budget movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What do you call it? Indie, indie pictures.
This was for love then.
It was an indie picture, know.
What about the West Indian accent? Because you got that down in the movie too, which was surprising.
Oh, just
you picked
sitting,
that up easily.
Thank you, sitting with her. And it was nice to have that up. Because when you're in drama school, I think you're working on the Polish and the Irish and the English, you know. It was like, I don't think I ever play those type characters. Could we work on some Jamaican or some Nigerian, South African, something.
Have you ever had that role where you're like, yo, if I don't win, I guess, an Oscar for this, I'm never going to get it? Because we all feel like that. We all feel like you got robbed for What's Love Got to Do.
Right. And who knows if a role like that will ever come around again.
Mm-hmm.
Just real deal. And sometimes I've had to sit and look at those who won Oscars and then the career after. Sometimes the expectation is so high after something like that, or they think, okay, now you're out of, what we're willing to pay. Or it's been interesting. I didn't win, but here we are still today, 25 years later?
Right.
And it's like, you still were robbed. It's still remembered. People still talk about it or are still affected by it.
Now, what about if they ask you to do a role that you wanted, but they're like, okay, but you got to gain 60 pounds.
Now you can't do that. The arms too toned.
But I'm saying, because a lot of actors have had.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they have. De Niro and Charlize
Theron. Really Theron
and... But they have talented artisans. Listen, I had three boobs a couple of seasons ago.
Three boobs?
They looked American Horror.
Horror Story.
I had three boobs and a ding-a-ling. It looked very lifelike. The crew would do a double take when my...
Your husband was like, okay, please get out of costume.
When I come on set, they sheepishly look down. So they're some talented folk, some plastic and rubber.
So you're like, okay, if they could make you look like it.
Yeah, it could be
done.
I would not. No, most definitely not. It's too difficult.
Right.
Do you even care about the Oscars?
Care. I enjoyed it the time that I went, back in 93. I had a good time.
Damn,
it was very, very
that's
exciting.
A damn shame, man.
It was very exciting. I went for about 9 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see more inclusion, that's when I care. That's when I can get excited.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When I see what life looks like.
Diverse.
Did you feel like you should have won that year?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hands down.
Yeah, without
I don't even remember who won that year.
I do, but.
Is she still around?
She's somewhere.
Go Google it.
Yeah.
Were you upset when you didn't win?
No, I wasn't upset. But, you know what life is like. Shoot. They had never been. I mean, it was, I guess, a big deal that I was even nominated. That it was even seen so that a gang of people could make a vote.
Gotcha.
And then both Lawrence and me were both nominated.
You got to play a stripper, man. You play a stripper, they'll give you an Oscar.
Who?
A stripper.
He's trying to say stripper. I was like,
would you trade your Image Awards for an Oscar?
My 9, 10 yes. Image Awards?
10 Image Awards for one Oscar.
No, I'm greedy. I want them all.
There
I'm
you go.
I want them all.
Three Image Awards for one Oscar?
No.
Okay. There you go.
You see that body? That brother leaning backwards holding the world?
Mm-hmm. You a pervert, man. Stop looking
no,
at
man.
Like
I'm just, sorry. Oh, she leaned back. She said, you see this body?
I said that body. The brother on the Image Awards. He's as handsome as Oscar.
You said who?
He was checking you out.
I'm talking.
You do this and say, you see that body?
No, I didn't say that.
Don't be afraid to get your husband to come up here and smack him up.
God bless your husband, okay? I don't know what he did in his life to be such a lucky man, but salute to him.
I know, right?
Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you
gotta
come
out
with a line
so
of like vitamin water or something. Tell people that that's what keeps you where you are.
Okay.
Yeah, like all Patty right. got her pie, you I can have your vitamin water.
I don't like the way you're looking at her, man. I just don't like it.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Angela's
I'm
going to
have something. I'm working on something. Yeah.
You saw that, right? Everybody getting their groove back. Jennifer Lopez. And
she lost her groove?
No.
She went back. Yeah.
Angela Bassett is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Angela Bassett.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club, and we got a special guest in the building.
That's right. This man has performed more miracles than Jesus.
Really?
Yes.
Dr. Miami?
Dr. Damn Miami.
Okay, give a round of applause, Dr. Miami.
Thank you for having me, guys.
You touch more breasts in here than any man that I know.
Thank you. Inside and out.
Hold on, you do the inside too?
Oh, yeah.
Rejuvenate them?
Yeah, we do everything.
Yeah, they do vaginal rejuvenation. I saw you.
Front side and back.
And doing some vaginal rejuvenation.
That's the biggest, hottest thing right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's what, girls coming in, they want to be virgins again? Or?
Practically.
Yeah.
Just redoing everything.
What do you do?
We can tighten it.
Okay.
We can get rid of the extra skin. You know, it doesn't look right.
Yeah, like
when the,
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, what's the biggest procedure for men and what's the biggest procedure for women?
For men, it's liposuction, getting rid of, man boobs. That's number one.
That was
one.
An issue one of my friends just had with her, this guy she was dating. She said everything about him was great, but he has these man boobs, and there's no real way you can get rid of those.
Not in the gym, no. You need surgery.
Really?
It's the only way.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was just push-ups.
No way.
Push-ups, some bench press, some weight?
No. That's number one. Number two is maybe rhinoplasty, nose jobs, that kind of thing.
What's rhinoplasty?
Nose jobs.
Oh, nose jobs.
Though. Yeah, you know.
I saw they have these new nose jobs that don't require surgery. Is that real?
That's true. The thing is, it doesn't make the nose smaller. It makes it actually bigger. But like if you have a bump in your nose, it just comes out like a hook or something. You could put something above the bump to make it like bigger but straighter.
Mm.
That's a non-surgical nose job.
Yeah, so I think Tahiri or somebody did that on her Instagram.
Yeah, and it also like makes it look like contoured. Like you don't have to contour it with makeup.
Mm. Now, we know that Snapchat has been doing really well for you as far as getting new clients, and clearly you've been Snapchatting a lot of the surgeries. And
you Snapchat the surgeries?
Oh, yeah.
You don't follow Dr. Miami?
Oh, yeah.
You crazy.
You don't get permission for that?
Oh, of course we get permission.
By the patients?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Mess up on Snapchat, though. Like, if you mess up or something.
Hey, if I mess up, it's bad anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, it doesn't matter if one person's watching or a million. Yeah.
So how does that work? Because I know a lot of reality stars are coming to you, a lot of celebrities. Yeah. And usually, people get plastic surgery. They don't really want anybody to know.
Not anymore. Plastic surgery changed a lot in the last 5 years. People talk about it now. People talk about it at lunch. They watch on their Snapchat, on the bus, wherever. You know, people, it's out there. People
What's
are doing
Snapchat?
It and talking about it. The real Dr. Miami.
You was up for best Snapchatter against Kylie Jenner.
And DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
Did you win?
I lost to DJ Khaled.
He didn't want you to win.
They didn't want me to win, and I didn't win. Look at that.
Why? Well, was it a numbers thing?
Yeah, it's a numbers thing, and it's like an academy. Listen, I think he deserves it. I mean, he really changed the game with Snapchat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great guy, and he's representing the 305, just like me, so that's cool.
What surgery would you perform on Khaled?
Oh,
to get
man.
His body
that's
a little
lot.
Right.
Man, no, he's working out. We'll see. When he loses that weight,
he's always working out, but it never, like, changes.
Now he lost a bunch of weight. He did.
It'll happen for him. I'm telling you, it'll happen for him.
Get his man.
I believe in him. I believe in you. They don't want you to lose weight, DJ.
His man boobs.
You can do it. Probably extra skin. When the weight's gone. First, you got to lose the weight.
Gotcha.
I saw these twins, and they were talking about how many squats they do a day, and they were saying that...
One of those twins works for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I saw that.
So you know
that,
you gave her the butt lift.
Listen, I'm going to talk out of school, but everybody knows.
Do you ever tell her knock it off?
No.
Oh.
God. It's just interesting because it does seem like some people get things done, and we can all look at them and tell, and then they deny it.
That's stupid. They think we're stupid.
Yeah.
And your wife doesn't have a problem with you touching all these breasts?
I've been married 21 years.
That's
man.
The biggest.
My wife knows me so well.
And you got five kids.
I got five kids, yeah.
That's the big misconception. People think you out here like having sex with all these different chicks.
No.
Do people really think that?
I never heard that. People do say that. Yeah. People, like teenagers will come up to be like, whoa, you must get so much. I'm like,
so much ass.
Nah. I got a wife. I got five kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a good boy.
Do you ever get tempted?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to partake in some of your work?
Just like, test it out.
I'm a man, flesh and blood.
Yeah, but don't get high off your own supply.
Don't get high on your own supply. That's the rule number one, obviously. Now,
do you and your wife talk about that? Do you tell her, like, look, baby, I did some great work today. You should see it. I want to have sex with her, but I'm not.
No, I'm not. I get slapped for that. But but listen, as a man, you know, you see a beautiful lady, you want to, you know, things go through your head, but you got to keep it in control. You know, you got to think long term. You got to think, you know, what's important in life and past.
You ever done any work on your wife, like every now and then? Like every few years, you just remodel the house real quick?
Just remodel the house? What, just put up a new kitchen?
Yeah, new kitchen,
about?
New bathroom, yeah. New drapes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I've taken off like a mole off her. That's about it.
Wow.
It's one of those ironies. Yeah. We got five kids. She's got like not a stretch mark on her tummy. It's just one of those ironic things.
Dope.
She get anything she wants, and she's perfect in my eyes.
Right. Now, what is this Surge Records?
Oh,
you got a record label?
Yeah, man.
Really?
All right, stop it. You're doing too much, Doctor.
Stop it. Calm down.
So here's how that happens. So you know, our Snapchat is pretty popular. We have 1.7 million viewers a day. So
we
play music in the background during surgery, and people kept sending in, you know, their own songs they want us to play, and we're like, you know what? Send us your submissions. If we think they're good, we'll play them on the Snapchat. Mm-hmm. So it kind of started as half a joke. We actually signed five artists. So we actually found.
I do not want to see you at no award shows. Right? I don't want to see you in no videos.
Wow.
I want to hear you talking on no records. No.
Just stick to the booties.
That's what you listen to
when you do surgery? I was hoping it would be like some nice, peaceful music.
Betty Wap.
Turn up.
Betty Wap. All day.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dr. Miami's here. 800-585-1051. When we come back, I'm going to ask if he ever gets paid in singles. Like, what's the most amount of singles you've gotten paid? When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Dr. Miami's in the building. Now, if you don't know Dr. Miami, he's a doctor out of Miami, and he will fix you up if you have any problems.
He's performed more miracles than Jesus. Like, I literally saw Dr. Miami walking through the Fountain Blue and girls dropping to his feet.
Really?
Yes. Like, ready to kiss his feet. Like, thank you. You changed my life.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Dr.
Yes.
Miami, I was asking. I know a lot of strippers come to you.
Yeah.
What's the most amount of money you got paid in singles? And who counts on those singles?
Rosie. Rosie over there. She counts the singles. I would say, what, 10,000 maybe?
That's not that bad in singles.
It's not that bad in singles. It's a lot, though. It's like a nice box full of singles. And they smell smoky. They do. They smell smoky.
That's the club smell.
That's for sure.
And you deposit the money. How do you feel like when you got to go deposit the money? Does that make you feel funny?
I make Rosie do that.
What they get for 10,000 in singles?
Oh, you can get a lot. You can get a butt. You can get a butt. You can get a tummy tuck, boobs. Yeah.
Now, when you walk in your office, is it like a dispensary or the McDonald's value meal menu? Like you just
Pretty much.
You pick number four,
number seven, number six. Yeah, we do that.
We've heard some people have regrets about maybe getting their butt done too big or certain things. Is there anything that can be done?
Absolutely. We just suck it down. Just liposuction
it down.
Yeah.
Just liposuction it right out.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, because some people think that it's irreversible. So they're like, well, I'm gonna...
It depends how they made it bigger. If they made it bigger with some silicone injections or some kind of back alley stuff, that's really hard to remove. Then you have to cut it out and leave scars. But if you did it with your own fat, which is what the Brazilian butt lift is, then you just suck it out and it goes right back.
I see a lot of doctors giving you hate. A lot of them say as far as you showing off your patients and stuff like that on social media, that's unethical. What do you think about that?
Nah, I mean, the testimony of that is there's now hundreds of doctors doing it on Instagram and Snapchat. Yeah. They're just copying. As long as the patient gives permission and you don't put any identifying features, it's totally cool. Nothing unethical about that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been videos on YouTube of all these surgeries for years and years. They're just boring. You know, I do it with a little bit of flavor. something engaging. Yeah. Get people interested in it, to watch it.
Throw some music on, pour some drinks music around.
No drinks, no.
Now, I see penile enlargements are getting more and more popular.
Also. Really?
Does anybody come to you for that?
They do. They do on occasion.
Hold on, you can make the penis bigger for real?
But it's stuck big, I think. It can't go back small. It's just you just always
well, there's
big.
Okay, so the traditional way has been just basically fat grafting. Just you can make it thicker, but right. Not longer. There's a guy in L.A. that puts like a silicone implant in. I don't know if that's ready for prime time yet. There's only one guy that's FDA approved to do that in L.A. I'd like to see more follow-up results before I put that on the line. You know what I mean?
Now, when you were younger, did you take, like, apart Barbies and, like, rearrange their parts or take parts from other dolls and put them on the Barbie?
Kinda, yeah. I have a doll that we made, funny you ask that, on my desk. It's like Mr. Potato Head meets Barbie. And you take off her boobs and make them bigger. You take off her butt and make it bigger or smaller. I have that on my desk. We made that custom. I always knew I wanted to be a surgeon, and I knew I wanted to be a plastic surgeon from when I was a teenager, even, so, yeah.
So did you practice on people? Because, you know, like, guys that wanted to be barbers in the hood would always come cut you up. Did you be like, hey, girl.
Yeah, no, there was no. Yeah, like in kindergarten with the little scissors? No, I didn't do that. And surgery takes a long time, you know? Yeah. You need, it's like 15 years of schooling after high school, of training and all that. But then once you get out on your own, it's awesome. It's fun. It's a great career.
Now, a lot of people, when they get these surgeries, it's insecurities. Do you ever try to tell people, well, maybe you don't need this or maybe you shouldn't do this? Is that the first option you try? Or like, what is the procedure if somebody comes and says, hey, I you know, my breasts are too small. I think I want to get bigger breasts. Or my ass is too small. I want a bigger ass.
Yeah, so, I mean, if it's legitimate, if they really have something that's wrong with them, that they feel is wrong with them, it's cool. But sometimes people come in and they say, like, I have a bump on my nose and I can't even see it. Or like they say I'm too fat and they're like sticks, you know? Those people I turn away. I turn away about 15% of the patients that come in because I just don't see it and I don't think surgery is the answer for them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fix what's on the inside, you know?
Mm, right.
That has to come first. But surgery can help fix what's on the outside, and if it makes you feel better, it's awesome.
Have you ever turned anybody down and you looked at them like, look, it's nothing I can do for you?
You mean like it's too far gone?
It's too far gone.
No.
Giving you an ass
we never
would be
give
pointless.
Up hope. No, we never give up hope.
Give Angela an evaluation. What you think?
She's perfect.
Thank you.
She's an 11. What bothers you? Anything bother you about your body?
I'm very fine with going to the gym, working out, and being regular.
Being regular.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I...
She's more than regular.
That's
though.
What I'm saying. Like, you got nice, natural girls saying they regular now. Like, no, that's the way it's kind of supposed to be.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm not trying to do anything different. I'm not trying to, you know, be on Instagram showing it. I'm chilling.
You're chilling.
What about Envy? He got man boobs, and he wants some abs.
I got man boobs.
I got you.
Abs are good money. What about Sean? Anything for lightning skin? He's good.
I'm great. Let me see. How much would somebody pay for these? Hold on.
For which?
What you trying to do?
I'm going to show you something, Dr. Miami. I'm going to show you something.
Oh, that's about 10 grand.
All right.
What is that?
Don't worry about what that was. That's what I've been working on under this shirt, okay?
Yeah. No, he's good. He's good.
I think you flirt
ladies,
with
he's
that.
Good.
That's the second time you shot your shot with him. I think you flirt with Dr. Miami. Dr. Miami,
he's just trying to get affirmation from me. It's all good, man.
I want affirmation from the best, baby.
That's it.
What's your email?
On all social media, just The Real Dr. Miami. On Twitter, on Snapchat especially, on IG. The Real Dr. Miami. You see before and after pictures, everything. You see me do my surgery every day.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Is there a special code for people that listen to The Breakfast Club that can call you and maybe get 10% off or something?
10% off.
No, Rosie, no. What do you think, Rosie?
You ain't got no reason to be cutting no deals right now. Dr. Miami is in high demand. What the hell am I going to cut a deal
Thank
for?
God. Yeah.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being donkey of the day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but donkey of the day is a new one.
Well, donkey of the day goes to Martin Shkreli. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me tell those who don't. Wikipedia describes him as American entrepreneur, financial, and pharmaceutical executive. Personally, I just started hearing about him last year when he bought the rights to a drug used by some AIDS and cancer patients called Daraprim, I think it's called. When he bought the drug, he raised the price overnight from $13.50 to $750.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the main use of the drug is to treat, you know, life-threatening parasitic infections, and he jacked the price up from $1,350 to $750. Okay?
He's the one that got arrested while he was on his...
Recently, he said he was going to bail out Bobby Shmurda. They arrested his ass.
Well, he's just another example of capitalism over compassion. A lot of people in America don't care about the well-being of people. They care about their bottom line, which is that dollar bill, y'all. Okay, he was also arrested last year on FBI charges of securities fraud, which is basically stock fraud and investment fraud, but he's out on bail. But what really put him on my radar, what really made Martin Shkreli a household name, at least in my brain, was the fact that he won an auction for the Wu-Tang Clan album, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. It's only one in the world, and that one album was sold to Martin for $2 million. Couldn't do nothing but salute the guy after that. I mean, I'm a Wu-Tang fanatic. They're the greatest hip-hop group of all time to me, so of course I respect that. But Martin, some members of the Wu-Tang Clan weren't feeling the purchase. TMZ actually ran up on my favorite MC of all time, the God Ghostface Killer, and he had this to say about Martin Shkreli.
You guys know that guy bought your CD for $2 million at the auction.
Yeah, that's head. You don't take some AIDS pill that you have for, I guess, $7, yeah, and then make it like $800.
Yeah, that's what
you know
he
what
did.
I mean? You don't do that like that. I don't care if you brought the Wu-Tang, whatever.
Are you cool with Martin Shkreli keeping the CD, or would you like him
that's
to?
His name? I mean, right now, that's it's out of my hands, man.
Who would you like the owner to be?
Well, the owner, the people.
I feel him. The album should be for the people, and Ghost is right. You don't jack up the prices of AIDS medication like that. We know that. Ghost said nothing wrong. But I can't be mad at what Martin decides to do with the album. If he bought it and he chooses not to let anyone hear it, that's his business. Personally, I'm not upset at Martin for that. I'm more upset at the powers that be in the Wu who decided to sell that album for $2 million instead of just releasing it to the general public. I do wish some due diligence was done before selling the album, because it shouldn't have just went to the highest bidder. It shouldn't have just went to anybody, okay? It should have went to somebody who's clearly not a douche. Which Martin Shkreli seems to be, okay? He seems to be a total douche. I mean, we should have known that after he jacked up the prices for the AIDS and cancer medication, but it was confirmed yesterday. When I saw this video online of Martin surrounded by a bunch of goon-looking dudes in hoodies and masks, okay, this guy did a video like a world star rapper threatening my favorite MC of all time, Ghostface Killer. Let's listen.
Dennis, I'm going to call you by your government name. You're not a Ghostface Killer. You know, at the end of the day, I'm very sorry for you. You're an old man that's lost his relevance, and you're trying to reclaim the spotlight from my spotlight. I think that if you ever say some dumb shit again, this album, this Shaolin, I'm gonna erase you from the record books of rap. You're gonna be done. You're my son. You have to listen to me. I butter your bread, you understand me? Without me, you're nothing. I expect you to write me a written apology. And don't ever mention my name again.
What? You privileged get Ghostface on the line right now. Hold on.
You titled elitist bastard if you don't take your ass back to the Caucasus Mountains. Now, listen, you have every right to respond. But when I hear you say things like, you're my son, you have to listen to me, I butter your bread.
You do not want to run into Ghostface.
Okay, without me, you're nothing. It feels like I'm watching Django or Roots, okay? Sounds like a slave master talking to one of his slaves. Mm-mm. And Martin, you have to know this is not the 1800s no more, okay? You're dealing with Nat Turner-minded individuals. Watch who you're talking to. And how you going to erase Ghostface from the record books for rap, okay? Ghost Legacy is solidified and certified with or without that funky-ass album you bought for $2 million, okay? I actually hope the album is trash. I'm sure it's not because it's Wu-Tang, but I hope it is. I hope you spent $2 million on pure garbage. Now, Martin provided even more douchery when he FaceTimed TMZ and they asked him about his threats to Ghostface. Now, let's listen to this.
How's the album, by the way?
It's on your business.
You don't have to tell us specifically what's on it, but how's the album?
100% under your business. Damn. I paid the money, so you won't know. This is my coaster, as you guys can see here.
You know, that are in hip-hop and these guys take it seriously. Are you worried about the repercussions of that?
No, they're worried about the repercussions. You saw the video. Get out of here, man. Now you're disrespecting me. You know, at the end of the day, it's not an act. Ghost is in trouble. He's an old man. You saw me. You saw my boys. I'm a young man. I'm 32. I'm from Brooklyn, too. Just because he was in the Wu-Tang Clan 20 years ago doesn't make him a tough guy.
He's just a dumbass with bread.
Martin Shkreli, ladies and gentlemen, a.k.a. the Dizza, the leader of the Douche-Tang Clan. You know what you should be worried about? Jail. Prison. You're facing federal charges for security fraud. What you should be trying to do is create some good karma, okay? The only way you can do that is by letting the less fortunate Wu-Tang fans like myself hear the Once Upon a Time in Shaolin album. Or maybe use some money and buy a whole bunch of that diaphragm or diaprim and give it to the Charlie Sheens of the world. But no! That's not what you want to do. You want to create problems. You want problems. Well, I hope you get them, okay? Give Martin Shkreli the biggest hee-haw, please.
Yo, check it out, y'all. What's good, man? This is Raekwon the Chef, and y'all listening to the best of the Breakfast Club, honey. Hola.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a guest in the building today. Goes by the name of Martin Shkreli. Did I say that right?
Yes, I gave him Donkey of the Day.
Right.
This is the guy who went at Ghostface, who jacked up the prices on the HIV AIDS pills.
He had the goons in the background.
Yes. He came in here and tried to shake my hand. I said, nope, I can't shake your hand. I need to know what you're all about first.
All right.
So first question, are you a privileged, entitled prick?
No, come on, man.
Break it down for me.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I was born in Brooklyn, you know, privileged. No, my parents are janitors, dude.
I heard. I read.
So, my parents, to this day, you know, my mom still does that. She's making 50 grand. You know, this is not a privileged family. I grew up in the streets, shared a room with my brother. You're talking about two bedroom, you know, four kids. You know,
okay.
I grew up the same way everyone in Brooklyn grows up. Roaches and rats. I think that phrase comes from a certain rap music artist that you may be familiar with.
The God Ghostface Killer.
Maybe. I was actually thinking of Jay, but you know, whatever.
Ghostface said that too, though.
Okay.
Yeah, and all that I got is you.
Oh, okay.
So you grew up from the hood. You're from Brooklyn. You're from the hood.
Yeah, I think so, man.
So how did you become so douchey? How did you become so rich?
You know, I think that the media can portray people the way they want, you know, and look, I'll give it back too. You know, you got a lot of people here, you know, to prepare for this. I watched you interview Kanye, man. He can act like that too. You know, Kanye
could definitely act like a privileged, entitled. Yeah. Yes.
You know, so it's part of the persona, the mystique sometimes. I'm a confident individual. But, you know, after all that's happened, I do want to set some of the record straight. I'm certainly not privileged, man. I've struggled, fought. I went to City College. I earned my way to the top. And I think I should earn a little bit of respect.
All right, well, let's talk about this Wu-Tang album you bought, because that was...
Did you bring it?
Oh, I'll bring it next time. I'll even play a track for you if you want.
So you paid $2 million for this album.
I did.
What made you say, I'm going to buy this album for $2 million? And it seems like you were upset that RZA wasn't talking about it, the guys weren't discussing
it. Well, I'll break it down from the beginning, because this is the number one place for hip-hop, so I might as well, you know, if I'm going to break it down extensively, might as well do that here. Is that all right?
Yes, absolutely.
Please.
All right. So there's a lot of details, obviously, right? I think every rich rap guy interested in rap was interested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I could even take it back a step further to talk about why I care about the Wu-Tang in the damn first place, right? Mm-hmm. I was a rock kid growing up. I'm not a liar. There's nothing. I'll never tell a lie in my life. And I told RZA to his face, as I said, I'm not your biggest fan. I can't name every track on every affiliated Wu album. Like, you know, that's not me. Let me be clear about that. Had summer school one year because I was a big derelict troublemaker, you know, kid. And me and this kid from the Bronx named Josh Martinez, Josh was always listening to Wu-Tang during summer school, and I would always listen to, like, Nirvana or something like that. And he'd be like, let me hear some of that. And I'd say, all right, let me hear some of yours. And we, you know, we dug
I'm
it.
I'm sure you might. I'll show you mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
And he's like, you know, I don't really get it, you know. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't really get yours. But, you know, he felt it a little bit. And then, you know, I got back into rap, and one of the big reasons I got back into rap was actually the Chappelle Show, when they had the Wu-Tang Financial skit mm-hmm. on the Chappelle
yes.
Show.
Classic.
That was a classic, and it really, quite frankly, I think it did a lot for Wu-Tang, it did a lot for rap, it did a lot for a new audience, because we looked at it and we were like, this is kind of, you know, it's truth is stranger than fiction.
But right. That would mean you want to get in the financial game?
No.
Okay.
But I was already in it.
You got to diversify your bond.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And when we saw that, we were like, this is truth is stranger than fiction. This is actually how a lot of us talk and act mm-hmm. in finance. And so I got more and more to rap. When the album came out, I said, I gotta own this. There's a lot of things rich dudes buy to just prove that, you know, again, I don't know what
for tax purposes?
No.
Okay.
To show off.
They're rich.
To show your friends, it's your last companies or whatever. Just like, hey, you look at me. I got this $2 million album. What you think about that? You know, guys do that all the time.
Respect Wu-Tang, why disrespect Ghostface the way you did in that video?
Look, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the whole clan, you know, including Ghost. But we're talking musically. There's a difference between music and real life and personas.
But you said you own him. You said he's like your
I don't
son.
Recall saying that. I did say son.
Slave master, slave.
All right, let me just end that right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the intent. You know, son is a word that we use all the time,
yeah.
Right? And it's meant to show disrespect. Like, you're as if you were my son.
So you would disrespect him?
Of course.
Why, though?
He disrespected me.
How did he disrespect you?
Oh, he called me a shithead, I believe, on...
In his defense, a lot of people were saying that because of the HIV
yes,
drugs
yes,
situation.
Yes,
which
but
will give you a chance to clean up.
I'll clean that up, but, you know, at the end of the day... You know, it definitely felt like, look, the guy was taking shots at me
mm-hmm.
in the hip-hop game. It's not easy to be on the receiving end of those things without jumping back. And
but you're not hip-hop. You're
whatever.
A
it doesn't matter, man.
Guy.
It doesn't matter. Like, you can't, look, even in finance, it's not even a hip-hop thing. It's a man thing. You take shots at me, I'm going to come back at you, especially publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Especially publicly. And that's just basic bravado on the basic, you know, manhood. You know, I'm not going to let him steal on me for what?
I feel like you want to be famous, which is crazy because you're worth $45 million.
More than that, but anyway.
Now tell us about the drug. What happened with the drug? Now they said that the drug, the pill was what?
$13. You jacked it up to $750.
You jacked it up to $750.
Yeah,
now explain that a little bit, because people 18, are pissed off about it.
It was 18 with $750, same difference. The number one thing I'd say is in law, there's a lot of people don't understand this. It's kind of interesting. In law, you can be prosecuted for not maximizing profits. In fact, I know people who have. And you have to do everything in your power to make as much money as possible in the system we've got. You can't go halfway. And if we did the analysis, we said, we can go to $750.
So $13?
Uh-huh. And nothing's changed. You know, people will pay the $750. Not people, insurance companies, et cetera. No one's got to actually throw the bills down.
But if the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies have to pay more for it, don't they have to charge regular people
absolutely,
more?
Absolutely.
So why would you want that?
I don't want that. This is one of the smallest drugs around. This is not Lipitor. This is not something everyone's taking. This is a few thousand people take this medicine. It's very rarely used. So in the scheme of things, this is 0.0001% of the drug business.
But somebody has to be buying this drug.
Yeah.
And usually,
so for the people that are buying it, even if it is a small few, why jack up the price on it?
There's drugs 3 times this price, 10 times this price. This is not like an insane price. If people, if you know the drug business, you know that this is not that expensive. In the higher end range, but in the lower higher end range. There's drugs that are $2 million a year.
But you did say if somebody can't afford it, you would give it to them.
Absolutely,
for free.
Man. I'm not going to let someone die. I mean, I'm not an animal.
How am I in touch with you?
We have a system, man. It's if you don't have insurance, you get it for free right off the bat.
How?
Right off the bat, it's done.
What's the system? How do I get in touch?
65% of our drugs.
I'm Charlie Sheen. I need the drug. How do I get in touch?
I don't think Charlie Sheen needs the drug for free.
Yeah. So your doctor prescribes it. Prescription gets sent to our pharmacy. Our pharmacy says, hey, where's the insurance? You say, I don't have any. Fill out this form, and you get the drug. 2/3 of the drug we sell for free. For free. Mm-hmm. People don't know that. People don't want to know that. Again, a lot of times, people want an enemy. They're going to get an enemy one way or the other. Yeah. And you can say whatever you want, but it's people who want the enemy, you know, and if I'm the enemy for you, good. I'm happy, man. I'm fulfilling some need in your life.
All right, keep it locked. We got more with Martin Shkreli when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, we have Martin Shkreli in the building. Now, Charlamagne, you keep calling this man a douche.
And then when you was on TMZ, you was acting like more of a douche. You wouldn't answer no questions. Like, why even do the interview if you was...
I'd be happy to answer questions. Look, I mean, people start off with me being a douche. I can be a very happy, normal dude. But, like, the guy asked me right off the bat. He's like, is this a good idea, you know, for you to be insulted? I'm like, you know, I can self-deprecate myself, but don't come at me. I'm not an idiot. Clearly, there's some satire in this video. It's meant to be a mix of satire and a mix of reality. And
you did your own sketch. Yes.
So you're not really having goons that you want. You don't really want
I have
to
goons,
have
for real.
Is that
but,
I have
you know,
for
let's
real?
Be, you know, one of them,
you
one of
your
them,
goons
a couple
up here
of couple
today?
May be here, but
they
the
here,
or outside.
Now, what about Bobby Shmurda? Were you really trying to bail out Bobby Shmurda?
I would have loved to, and I was in conversations with his attorney a day before I got arrested.
So now you can't do it.
You know, I got plenty of my own business to deal with, and as far as I know, his trial is coming up soon enough. So Unfortunately for Bobby, I mean, we're talking about injustice and the criminal justice system. This poor guy, I was bailed out, literally spent 3 hours in jail, maybe 4. They got me my own cell, they got me, like, it was like...
Oh, that doesn't happen to everybody.
White glove treatment, out the red
white
carpet.
White privilege, basically.
You know, I don't know.
Or rich privilege. Which
whatever
rich
it privilege, is. Privilege. But whatever it is. But I heard the guys in the cell next door talking GS9. They're like, you know, talking about stabbings and shootings. I'm sitting there like, yo, I want to be in that cell.
Right.
But you know, they're like, no, we're going to keep this guy separate. And I was out in 3 hours. This cat's been in jail a year. Mm-hmm. Jail is supposed to be a temporary spot that you go in and out of while your lawyer gets your ass out of there, you put up some money, something. You don't have to put up much money. One of the amendments of the Constitution, I think it's the Eighth Amendment, says the government will not impose unreasonable bail. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing to Bobby is ridiculously unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. And as I've seen it, and I'm an opportunist, I said, look, I can take this guy out of jail. I've got the money. I've got the lawyer, and every lawyer in the country. You know, I can get him out of jail tomorrow. I'll put up the two. You know, he'll wear a bracelet for me or something, you know.
So why don't you?
It's too late now.
Yeah, I would love for you to do that, but why? Like, what's the reasoning?
Two reasons. It's unfair. You know, the guy shouldn't be in jail. Again, prison is one thing. You get convicted, you do the time. But this man is innocent until proven guilty.
That's a fact.
Basic concept.
Right.
To incarcerate him before the guy's actually convicted and to deny his bail seven times?
But it's a lot of people in that situation. Why Bobby Smarter? Because you know it'll bring you attention?
Well, I heard about it. Okay. You know, I don't know anyone else right. in that situation. My boy, you know, some of my boys in that video, for instance, were in that situation. Oh, I could throw down for them immediately, you know? And I don't know Bobby, but, you know, everyone knows the song, his music. And
what's the name of it?
Hot.
Hot what?
Hot boy, I believe.
Yeah,
hot
boy.
Correct
really
name.
Boy?
I believe that's what Billboard.
That's what Billboard has.
Yeah, that's right. That's the name of the song.
Now, could you potentially lose your fortune now with all of the investigations going on?
Never.
Well, why do you want to be famous? Like I always say, if I had that much money, I wouldn't want nobody to know who I am.
You know, the problem is, it just happens one way, whether you like it or not.
Not really. I would have never heard of you if you didn't try to buy the Wu-Tang album, if you didn't jack up the prices for HIV.
Well, I still wanted to buy it. So how do you buy it and be anonymous? It's not easy.
I mean, for Wu-Tang, it's good press for them because they've done something no one's done before. Sold their album as a piece of artework
for
$2 million.
But you haven't even heard it.
It's a new thing. Well, no one's heard it.
I heard a little bit. I heard a little bit.
Before you bought it.
No, I would debut it right on here. You know, I mean, I love hip-hop. I mean, at this point, hip-hop has vastly surpassed rock. They stayed a rock.
Without question. It's not even close. Mm-hmm.
Rock's in the toilet. And there's not one rock artist I'm excited about. There's like 20, 30 hip. I had Fetty Wap come do my Christmas party. You know.
How much you pay him?
Yes. Leave that one alone. A good amount. And he was great. You know, the guy killed it. You know.
Well, if you love hip-hop, you'd never disrespect Ghostface Killah. I understand you feel like he came at you.
It was a tough decision. I'll be clear. It was a tough decision.
Because it actually will make hip-hop people look at you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dare he talk about you bought this
Who is
album.
This Yakub's child?
This is Ghostface.
Talking
He's an
crazy
icon
to the god Ghostface.
Part of Wu-Tang Clan, one of the greatest groups of all time.
He's one of the greatest rappers ever. But he's still a man. He still bleeds the same blood as me. And you want to talk? I'm not the one.
Do you think have Michael Jackson's nose?
No. I got a beautiful nose. He should be one to talk. If he were here right now, I'd smack him right in the face.
No, you wouldn't.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Bring the door. Ghost is in another room.
You would not smack Ghostface.
Absolutely.
Would you buy his album?
Absolutely. I've all his albums. I got 36 Seasons. I got everything.
36 Chambers. What the hell is wrong with you?
Seasons.
Oh, yeah. That came out. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You said Seasons. That's a Ghostface solo album.
Now, Donald Trump. Now, he called you a young brat.
No, back to that. You will not smack Ghostface Killah.
If you say so, I'll do you that honor.
I'm just saying, Ghostface got a lot of people that love him.
He smack fire out
and
you.
And I know you're saying that, but, you know, you walk outside.
And
the streets are still the streets. Anybody can get it,
I don't think you want those problems. You would smack Ghostface.
Martin, yes. Anybody can get it, Martin.
I know this.
And we're in the midst of this whole Black Lives Matter thing. Racial tension is at all time high. They'd love to chase you back to the caucus mountains.
Don't make it a race thing. At the end of the day, there's people in my family who've been shot and killed. You know, this.
Did you shoot him and kill him?
No.
If not, it doesn't matter. What
so
are you
wait, if you smack Ghost and he beat you up, would that be justified on his part, though?
He could try, man.
Would you call the police on him if he beat you up?
What's that?
Would you call the police on Ghost and beat you up?
No. Hell no.
Say that on camera again.
I would never call the police. It's open season. Come at me. It don't matter.
Papa Wu. Remember when you did Action Bronson?
And in fact, I think there's a saying y'all familiar with. It's called, I wish you would.
You entitled, privileged.
You're going back to this. I'm telling you, I'm from the streets. You know what? 2009, how much money do you think I have in my bank account? That was 6 years ago.
A couple million.
$100.
Really? Can I borrow $100?
Nope. I'm gonna borrow money from you.
Before you got here, you said he was gonna ask you for $100,000 and see what happens.
Yeah. You got plenty of your own connections.
I just don't want you to get beat up, man. I mean, I do, but I don't.
It is what it is.
You're
kind
of causing it on yourself.
Have you gotten beaten up?
Never in my life. I fought many times.
So you can fight.
I've been jumped. You know, it is what it is. Most people, when they fight, they don't want to kill another man.
Really?
Know?
What world
most
are you
of,
from?
Most of, I've been in many fights in Brooklyn. Like, it's, you know, you knock a guy out, you don't keep wailing on him. You're just like, all right.
No.
Now you know.
New era, Martin.
All right, well, we got more with Martin Shkreli when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Martin Shkreli in the building. Now, Donald Trump called you a spoiled brat.
Him.
Kind of agree with him, though.
You know, he inherited, what, $1 million, $100 million? I mean, nobody knows, right?
Right.
And in fact, if you look at the numbers, he actually should be way richer than he is. He's been f***ing up, actually. He hasn't made as much money as he could have. All you had to do to be Trump is inherit that money and put it away and just put it in your boys, and you'd be fine. He'd be the richest man in the world. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, he hasn't been a good businessman. He talks way too much. We all know that. And at the end of the day, you know, who's a spoiled brat? I'm sorry, where I come from, that means, like, you know, entitled, privileged, etc. No, my first job, I had two choices. I was going to work at Carvel Ice Cream, or I worked at a hedge fund. I was lucky enough to get a job at a hedge fund, but I didn't even have suits to wear to the hedge fund. I didn't know how to dress. Like, it was ridiculous.
You was a Baruch, right?
Yeah.
So you had $100 in 2009. How'd you get your first million?
I started a drug company called Retrophin. It was the fastest growing drug company probably ever.
How did that happen? How do you start a drug company?
Starting a drug company is close to impossible because you need hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. So how did you do it?
Go to investors, like your boys.
You got
investors?
That's
the company now that you actually, with the securities fraud charges, got arrested.
There's
for.
A little bit of involvement there, correct?
Are you scared to go to jail?
No, I'm not scared of anything in life.
You know, there's a lot of Wu-Tang fans in jail. You heard about what happened to Kanye West, right?
You're talking about Amber Rose?
Yeah.
She can get every day, right?
That's in plain daylight.
You're a real rich guy. So what's the craziest thing that you've done? Because we've all seen Wolf of Wall Street. What's the craziest thing that you bought and the craziest thing that you've done?
Dude, I'm a regular guy.
No, you're not. You bought an owl for $2 million.
I did that to show that I care about art.
What are you doing for the Black Lives Matter movement?
The movement itself, you know, at the moment, you know, as you know, I'm involved in a lot of stuff. I got to figure that out. So, like, at the end of the day, like, I would love to do some stuff for Flint. I would love to do some stuff for everything. But as you can imagine, after you're arrested, your life changes.
So are your assets frozen right now?
No. You know, but at the end of the day, it's crazy. You know, I mean,
You have resources. I mean, you know, if you spend $2 million on an album, you can spend money.
Will you tell me what you think I should
do? I think you should donate some money to, like, the activists, you know, like the D-Rays of the world, the Nettas, because they go around traveling and, you know, a lot of times they just need funding just to keep going. You know what I'm saying?
I'm interested in doing that. You know, at the end of the day, you know, right now, you know, there's ODB used to say this, I'm all about me right now. And people come and try to troll me, I just say that. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's sometimes you got to focus on yourself. And for now, I'm in so much that I gotta do that. And, you know, obviously, you know, but the movement spoke to me. I just, you know, my world has been so crazy that I can't.
I mean, you can always just write a six-figure check to See the God World LLC, and I'll donate.
I was about to do it.
I'll donate the funds.
Until you laugh. You f***ed it up, Envy.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure.
I still don't know how I feel about you. But I like the fact you came from nothing and made something happen, especially that you only had $100 back in 2009.
You said your mom is still a janitor to this day?
Yeah, you said that. You have enough money, but
you still got your mom being a janitor? Oh, she won't. Okay,
quit.
I get it.
I beg her every day. Mm-hmm. She doesn't understand the money and markets and things like this. Just, I'm going to work for you guys, and that's it. It's a great mom.
All right.
And Ghostface is going to smack you.
We'll see, man. Bring it. I wish he would.
I wish he would.
The leader of the Deuce Tang Clan, the Dizzle, ladies and gentlemen, Martin Scorsese.
Scorsese.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Charlamagne.